Good afternoon.
The chair is stuck in traffic at the moment, but we do have a quorum, and so we could start by letting the president give his state of the college. So, President Rowe.
Good afternoon. How is everyone? It's great to be here. Let's just make sure this is working. Yes, we're on. All right. So, and the chair's here. We started without you, and all I've said is who I am. Your chair, thank you so much for presiding over this important body. So I've put together, with the help of communications and marketing, led by the very talented senior advisor to the president, Jay Hershenson, who may still be, yes, he's seated in the back of the room, a double alumnus of Queens College, a part of the wonderful, talented team that I work with, and you also, as the Senate, are part of that team with your own unique role in the system of shared governance that we have here. So feel free to direct your attention, if you like, to the screen. We will go through a number of developments. I want to update you as candidly and forthrightly and positively as I can. I'm happy to allot a little bit of time with the chair's permission for Q&A. So we'll start with academic affairs because, of course, we are a college. And the most important thing that I want to mention is accreditation. So for those of you not immersed in this arcane subject, every institution of higher education that is a legitimate institution of higher education must be accredited. This is a legal requirement in order for our students to be eligible for financial aid, for their degrees to be meaningful, and so on and so forth. Allow me to assure you, I have no fear about our accreditation. We will be reaccredited, but what happens sometimes is the team of peers, that's how the system works in the United States, other professors and college presidents come and they visit you every few years. They might offer us some friendly advice. I myself will chair a similar team that's going to visit the University of the District of Columbia, located, as the name suggests, in our nation's capital. I'll be doing that in the spring. This is not compensated, it's volunteer service, but it's in our interest, in my interest, that I go down there because this gives me an insight into how everything works from the other side of the table. We are accredited by Middle States, one of several regional accreditors. In addition, you may know that specialty programs here, psychology, for example, have their own independent accreditation from a reputable body of scholars. This is a huge undertaking. They don't just show up. We spend literally years, 2 or 3 years, and we are right now in the throes of this process preparing by gathering evidence. This is being led by the very talented Provost Patricia Price. Provost is a funny job title. I won't use her usual line where she explains it, but I will say it doesn't exist outside of higher education in prisons. But in our context, it refers to the Chief Academic Officer. So while I preside over the entirety, most of the academic function I delegate to the provost to oversee, and accreditation falls within her portfolio. She's working with our newly hired associate provost, one of three, who I'll mention in just a moment. So we are right now doing so much to ensure that we provide the evidence for the team that will be visiting us in a couple of years, in about a year, so it's not too far off. I also want to mention our annual awards. In addition to appearing before the Senate, and I had so hoped to come to your first meeting, but we had our annual event in Washington, D.C. for our big donors. We travel down there every year because we have enough graduates there, as we do in Boston, in New Jersey, and in Florida, that I periodically take trips just to meet and greet them and thank them for their support. So Patricia filled in at the first meeting. The other primary point during the academic cycle when I present about the institution is at the annual State of the College program. That will occur in April of this school year, and we will give out the awards to faculty and staff This includes for teaching and service, and new this year for research and creativity. Those awards are accompanied by a cash honorarium that is not insignificant. It's a very nice way to recognize those who have done so much, including, I also want to emphasize, for service, recognizing that it takes so much to keep this community flourishing and doing well. In the Academic Affairs Office, I mentioned there's a new associate provost, one of three. Her name is Rebecca Chow. She's in, I believe, her third month, and her portfolio includes accreditation, institutional research, institutional effectiveness. She looks at all of the data about this institution and how we report it, whether it's the federal government, to accreditors, or whoever else, such as U.S. News, is compiling data. We have a number of other individuals in senior roles who I want to mention. Also, Associate Provost Maria De Longoria, who is now in her second year. She's still an interim Associate Provost. We will do a full search. We also have Interim Dean of Arts and Humanities, Simone Yearwood, and the Dean of Math and Natural Sciences, no stranger to you, Dan Weinstein, is now serving as the Interim Dean of Research. It's so important that we recognize the research and creativity role of our faculty. That's what they are so passionate about, and we want to support them. And so we have a role there, too. When funds permit, we will initiate a search. We've brought on the very first, the inaugural Interim Dean of the Asian American Asian Research Institute, also known as ARI, and that's John Chin, who's joined us from Hunter College. For those of you who don't know, every institute in the CUNY system, these serve the entire system, all of the colleges and all five boroughs. They're all housed, though, within a college. We're fortunate. We have both the Calandra Institute for Italian American Studies, the leading such institute in the entire nation, and we also have ARI, which we are positioning to be the leading such think tank on the East Coast. Even though they're part of Queens College, they're located off-site. They're in Midtown Manhattan, just as the Louis Armstrong House Museum is over in Corona. For those of you who don't know about that, you should certainly take a visit. It's the award-winning museum, the largest in the world dedicated to a single jazz artist, and it too falls under the aegis of Queens College. We will do a search. We're ahead of schedule. We're going to do a search for the dean of the School of Business. This is so exciting. When I announced the School of Business a couple of years ago, I explained that this school, which will become a standalone school, just like arts and humanities, just like social science education and math and natural science, that it was on a plan to accreditation, and I wanted to see it through. Remember I said just a moment ago, some specialized programs, in addition to the overall accreditation of Queens College, they have their own accreditation. Business schools are such an example. It takes 8 years, approximately, and I'm here to see us through that. It won't be easy. Well, the first step was to find a donor. Why did we need to find a donor? Because we needed to be able to hire a dean, and that's the second step. And then that dean would come and help us develop the plan to get to accreditation. So the first step I thought would take a number of years, and to be honest, I wasn't so sure that we would clear that first hurdle, but we did in record time. I want to acknowledge Vice President Lori Dorf, who's just the most talented fundraiser I've ever worked with. We have an endowment. That means that the amount of money is enough to last forever, because it's a vast sum, and you only spend the interest. I'm not permitted to say the exact amount, but I can say this. The endowment is of such a size that the salary for the dean of the business school will be primarily paid by these philanthropic funds, not by Queens College tax levy funds. So if you do the math, you'll come to a number that's well into the seven figures. This will be named for the Alley Bridge Corporation. The donor, the benefactor, who is a graduate of this institution, is also in the spirit of the greatest philanthropist, a modest individual. So he has chosen not to put his own name on the deanship, but instead that of the company that he founded using the skills that he gained here. This is someone who is young, younger than I am, so I think of him as young, and he's already been so successful after graduating here that he can give away enough money for us to hire the new dean of the business school. Thanks to the Senate, we will have a search committee. I'm looking at your chair. This is, I can't emphasize enough how important this is. By the way, sometimes people come up to me and they say to me, this is true, everything I say is true. They say to me, it's an outrage who you've picked for your search committee. And I always explain to them, I didn't pick them. The Senate picked the search committee. By the way, as you do that, please, please send me names of people who are eligible to serve and who are willing to serve. And I thank you in advance for your hard work. But without the committee, we can't move forward. So that's the business school dean search. We're also building out support for academic technology in CETL. That's crucial. Everything now. We knew this before the pandemic, but Zoom certainly has become part of life, and Microsoft Teams. And we have a new initiative called Better Neighbors. This is brand new. It hasn't been done in the history of Queens College, but what we're doing is provosts, associate provosts, and deans are working with our friends at our feeder institutions. This might be true of some of you seated here. 40 to 50, 55% of our student population transfers. And that, by the way, is now the national norm. A majority of college graduates do not graduate in 4 years from the same institution they initially matriculated into. It is now entirely common to transfer. There's no stigma, nor should there be, associated with transferring. Most, about 80, 85% of our transfers come from our sister institutions in CUNY. That would be Queensborough and LaGuardia, but a good 15 to 20% also come from our friends over in Long Island. So we have the provost, associate provost, and deans meeting with their counterparts and department chairs at the community colleges to help make the transfer process easier, because we know that we are dependent on transfer students and we want to do right by them. We want them to feel comfortable here, to feel home, to feel welcome, whether they started here as first-year students or transferred. In terms of research productivity, we're just doing great. This is a place where I'm so proud of our faculty. As dedicated as they are to teaching, to transmitting knowledge to the next generation, they're also dedicated to creating knowledge, to doing their own projects. And there are a lot of institutions that talk about this balance, but few actually demonstrate it in practice, and we do. We have more and more research, whether you measure that by the dollars that flow in, whether you look at our peers within the CUNY system or in absolute terms. I'm just so proud of what's happening in the labs and the studios here at Queens College. I just love visiting faculty. And if any of the senators who are faculty members want to contact me and show off some of what they're doing, I would be thrilled with the provost to come by and pay a visit. Student life, the heart of the institution, of course, are our students. We're doing so much more to improve the experience for students, and that starts with, I think he's already been introduced, but Jomi George, our new registrar who comes to us from Hunter College. He's in maybe his third month now, he's really settled in, and it's so important to have a permanent registrar here. You can see some of the data here about the support in material terms, whether it's Pell Grants or other types of scholarships, TAP and Excelsior, that are being offered to students. It remains true that a majority of our students graduate with no debt or debt below the national average. In fact, if you look at all of our students, the debt load that our students have is nothing like what it would be if they went to a private institution where students are just being crushed by those loans they've taken out. At the age of 57, I have friends who I went to law school with, my peers, my contemporaries, who within the past year or two, and if you do the math, this makes sense, they paid off their student loans after 30 years. Can you imagine paying $1,000 or $2,000 a year like that for your student loans? That's not true here. It's why I'm so glad to be part of the CUNY system. We're also enhancing student life with the programming that we offer, because we know that people come and enjoy this beautiful campus of 83 acres because they can throw a frisbee, they can play volleyball, they can make lifelong friends, they can participate in NCAA sports, they can do the sorts of things that sometimes people who come visit me from elsewhere, or even New York City, other parts, other boroughs, or even somewhere else in Queens, they're shocked that we have all this space, that we support robust student life, whether that's in the Summit Residence Hall or just as you look out across the quad on a beautiful day. The Knights Table Food Pantry continues to serve so much need. You know, this is a time when some students, some faculty and staff even, go hungry. And I don't want anyone who's trying to improve their lot in life to face a dilemma of whether they drop out of school or forego a meal. So the food pantry, which gives out for free food, not just for Queens College students, but for CUNY students. So we do occasionally get students from our sister CUNY campuses they do this in a manner that makes it normal. It's not the sort of thing where anyone has to feel any shame. They shouldn't. And the Knights Table Food Pantry has just been a huge success. It depends on you and me to donate money or goods. Student life continues to include so much that is just part of life, whether it's the Planned Parenthood bus visiting, and we as an institution do support the right to choose and appropriate birth control that is available from the school nurse. We have a blood drive. We offer testing, including during the pandemic. Of course, we were a test site, we're a vaccination site, and we do flu vaccinations. And we know that many students suffer mental health anxieties, and that's an important area where we've enhanced services. We continue to be ranked among the top institutions in the entire nation for our support of military veterans. And I know that there are those who have served this nation sitting here in this room. And it's not enough just to say thank you for your service. It is important that when people come here following their enlisted duty, that they know that they will be respected, welcomed, and that there is a place, literally a place, a lounge for them to go to where they can have that respite between their classes and other stresses. That's led by Dennis Torres, formerly of the United States Marine Corps, about to become a father for the second time. So if you see him, give him a wave, and let's hope he gets some sleep. So this is just a little bit on how much we're doing for those who have served the nation. I've already mentioned Jomie George. I also want to congratulate the public safety officers who have achieved the rank of sergeant. And I want to take a moment to pause on public safety to say that we have tried to follow a community policing model. Our public safety officers are just like our students and faculty. They're diverse. There are so many ethnic backgrounds, so many faiths. They speak so many languages. And you can see that just visibly represented. They work day in, day out, whatever the weather is, however people treat them. And I know we can always improve, and we endeavor to do that. But I want to thank all of you as well, because with everything happening in this world, I know there are things happening in this world. This is not an easy time for anyone. That here, we've been lucky. We had no encampments. We've respected free speech. People have had speakers, sometimes ones that make me uncomfortable. But they have a right to have those speakers, and we've tried also to reach out. And if anyone feels uncomfortable or feels threatened, we're here to support them as well. That's the course that we've chosen to follow. And it depends on all of us and the social contract that we have. Whereas you are challenged in the classroom, you feel safe physically. It's important that you be challenged in the classroom, but it's just as important that everyone, whoever they are, however they manifest their identity, that they feel physically safe here at Queens College. We had a fantastically successful open house this past Sunday. Kudos to all those who participated. And we have a new Enrollment Now task force with faculty, staff, and students that are looking at the number one priority we have, which is enrollment, enrollment, enrollment. We're above 16,000 again. We need that to be at least over 19,000. I have an aspirational, a stretch goal of 20,000. If we can get above 19,000, things will be well. 16,000, I'll be honest with you, things aren't as good as they should be. And we are offering something here that is so worthwhile. So for the students, tell your siblings, tell your cousins, and for the faculty and staff, let's work together to ensure that everyone, not just in this great borough, the world's borough, but on Long Island, upstate, even from elsewhere, we recruit students internationally, including student athletes and others, and I say to them, come to America, feel at home. That's what's special about Queens College. Last year, fiscal year, we ended with a break-even condition. That's terrific. We're not a for-profit company. I don't have to satisfy shareholders. We're not here to make money off our students, but we can't lose money either. We have to break even, meaning that at the end of the day, everything is balanced. The revenue coming in and the expenditures going out, it matches up. Last year, thanks to the CFO, Joe Lochran, and tapping into some non-renewable, non-tax levy entity resources. So for example, when we do rentals for movie shoots, in a robust year, that can bring in almost $2 million. In a normal year, it's closer to $1 million. That money flows back into our coffers to benefit the students and the faculty, because departments that are affected by movie shoots are given a percentage of whatever we earn. So we did end in a balanced condition, but we will continue to face fiscal challenges until we get that enrollment regularly back up to about 19,000. Again, the stretch goal is 20, but if you remember either 19 or 20, if we hit 19,000, that will suffice, we'll be okay. We've also tried to help students with their finances and with the CUNY Reconnect program, bringing back students who had to stop out, because we know that with our enrollment, so many students, understandably, are working a job, some of them working two jobs, even three jobs to put food on the table. So we're doing everything we can to help support students. Food services. So we have a brand new food services vendor, and thank goodness. I know it was a little bumpy getting us started. That's how it is when you have a transition. They are doing business as QC Campus Eats, and we will ensure, we're still sorting out a few things. I understand not everything is open yet, but when it's all sorted out, we will have halal food that is certified. We had to have a switch in one of the subcontractors. We will have kosher food. We have halal and kosher through the combination of food trucks and other food that's available. But I want to make sure that it's better, that it's hot food for both halal and kosher. We also offer vegetarian and gluten-free. The vendor was picked through an inclusive process. Faculty, staff, and students were part of a committee. This was not just my decision. We also are offering food that will address the palates of the diverse community that we have. And so I hope you're enjoying QC Campus Eats. It is such an improvement here, and you'll see continuous improvement in what they do. Facilities. We have so many projects. We're a horizontal campus, more similar to the College of Staten Island, but whoever goes out to Staten Island, then to our friends at, say, Baruch or Hunter, meaning that we have so many buildings. We actually have the most buildings of any CUNY institution. And you know the Gersh Speech and Hearing Center, which is a leading program of its type, their building has been being fixed up the entire time that I've been president. I'm in my fifth year. I can't wait for the ribbon cutting, because that will be a spectacular facility. And we're doing some things that aren't so visible. They're behind the scenes, but they're crucial and will help with everything, such as the boiler replacement. That is a multi-million dollar project. It is enormous, but it will contribute greatly to better HVAC, better temperatures and air circulation throughout. Work that was being done over in Colton Auditorium was finished in record time. So that offers handicap accessibility. It offers the new high-tech equipment for the shows that are put on over there, and it's great to see. This is all under Assistant Vice President Zico Krisic, who does great work. He's not here because his daughter, a Queens College alum of just this past year, is getting married. So congratulations to the entire Krisic family. We depend on the state of New York and a little bit on the city of New York for these projects. The way they're funded is with Assistant Vice President Jeff Rosenstock. He and I go out and we meet with legislators all the time, whether it's up in Albany or here in the city, and they give us millions of dollars. Every one of these projects costs millions. There's nothing on this list that's less than $1 million. Some of these run well over $10 million. The boiler plant project, I can't remember how many millions, but it's well over $10 million. And this is all because we've persuaded folks to invest. It's not because Zico or I or Jeff are charming. The two other gentlemen are more charming. But it's because people understand the value proposition here, that if they invest in this institution, it will pay off because people will come here and they will move up in the world. If you saw the latest U.S. News and World Ranking, and I know the ranking methodologies are flawed. Boy, are they flawed. But there's one measurement that I really care about, one metric that I look at, and that's return on investment. We rank in the top 10, not for the city, not for the state, but for the entire nation. And that's how we are lifting people up into the middle class. So that is what we say to legislators, and we can back that up. That's not just my say-so. We have objective data to show how well we do at our core mission. We also depend on philanthropy. I've already mentioned the Alley Bridge Endowed Deanship for the School of Business. We just received $600,000 from Carol and Norm Barham, who grew up across the street in Pominock and then came to Queens College fantastically successful. You may remember them from commencement. We gave them honorary degrees. They've been so generous. If you've ever set foot in the library, that rotunda that we have, if you look up, it says Barham Rotunda. That's Carol and Norm Barham. They just gave us another $600,000 for student scholarships. This depends on constant cultivation. So sometimes if people wonder, as perhaps some senators did, where is Wu? Why is he down in D.C.? It's because I'm seeing folks like Carol and Norm. They live in Florida, so we go down there at least once a year, and our thoughts go out to everyone with family or friends in Florida. As Jerry Seinfeld once said, the sixth borough of New York City. So Carol and Norm retired down there, and we see them whenever we're there, because they've just done so much. And you see some pictures here. Harris Horowitz, who just joined the foundation board, gave $50,000 to help support internships, and Joan and Alan Lauren gave $500,000. These are substantial sums of money. And it's because people feel a connection to you. They feel a connection to this institution. Sometimes people think, well, you just go out there and you guilt people into giving money by saying, well, it was cheap when you went here, you need to pay that back. I can assure you that doesn't work. People need to understand that something important is happening here that they want to be a part of, and that I will be a good steward of those funds and spend them wisely. We also have received numerous bequests, and our number of donors has increased more than 20%, despite the challenging fundraising environment. I don't have to tell you that sometimes when people read newspaper headlines, they contact me and they express their misgivings, their doubts about whether they still feel connected and a member of this community. But we continue to do well, including with the professionals on campus lecture series. So this gives you some sense of what's coming from the government. Congresswoman Grace Meng, an old friend of mine from before I came here, she's our representative in the United States House of Representatives. You know her from her leadership role. She's the co-chair of the House Bipartisan Working Group to Fight Anti-Semitism, for example. She has been giving us $1 million plus, year in, year out, for the past few years. And it supports everything from the Child Development Center to the wet lab that Professor John Dennehy runs for COVID testing and other virus testing, to our Small Business Development Center. Congresswoman Grace Meng is truly a friend to Queens College. And you'll see her on campus from time to time. So if you do see her, thank her. Councilmember James Gennaro has been giving us almost $1 million or more every single year. That's why we had the cat adoption event recently. Some of you may have seen that. That was at the request of Councilmember Gennaro. He and his wife have numerous cats, and cats are important to them. And if they're important to Councilmember Gennaro, cats are important to us. And it was a good cause. I do understand that a few cats were adopted here. Councilmember Gennaro also is one of us. Some of you on the faculty may remember when he taught here. He was a professor here for 8 years before he was first elected to the New York City Council. He's in his second stint. He was also responsible for the renaming of the street as the Barry Commoner Way to honor a great hero of his. And a nationally known figure, the founder of Earth Day, the namesake of our Barry Commoner Center, a towering figure in environmentalism. The Kupferberg Center for the Arts has done well. You know, we're a civic institution, and if you missed it this summer, come out next summer for our Live at the Gantries in Long Island City. We're active throughout the borough. We have another dance program, the Queens Jazz Trail Concert Series, spearheaded by Associate to the Dean, Julia Del Palacio of our arts school, and we've been presenting concerts in parks throughout the borough. These are so well attended. For example, I've seen Maria De Longoria and Simone Yearwood at these events. They bring out their folding chairs and enjoy an evening as the sun sets, and they are joined by people of all backgrounds for free concerts by world-class talent. People such as Antonio Hart of our music faculty. The Godwin Turnback Museum continues to do fabulous work, putting on special exhibits with their 7,000-piece collection there, teaching museum. Whenever I visit the Godwin Turnback, I am grateful that Maria Pio and Louise Weinberg run it and do everything that they do. This is the only professionally operated museum, an actual museum in the CUNY system located on a campus. We also put together numerous education programs through the Godwin Turnback and through other parts of Queens College that serve children, school children. They serve the community. These are well attended, and they're just our way of giving back and also subtly helping to recruit people who come here might 10 years later return. People such as Assemblymember Khalil Anderson, the youngest African-American male ever elected to office in New York State. He came to this campus because he was resettled here after Superstorm Sandy as a 13-year-old, I think it was, and he remembered the largesse even as he had to sleep night after night in the Fitzgerald Gymnasium. And then years later, he came to college here through the SEEK program, and now at just the age of 26, I think, he's in his second term in the New York State Assembly. Someone else who's just a terrific friend to this institution. We were just over at the Louis Armstrong House Museum for President's Council a few hours ago. It really is worth visiting. This is just a picture showing Governor Hochul. Our Chancellor, Felix Matos Rodriguez, who goes by Phalo, you all know him as my predecessor. If you haven't seen Phalo recently, he grew a beard, so congratulate him on his new beard. If you're wondering who that fellow is, that's Phalo with his new beard. And Ricky Riccardi, who won a Grammy for his album liner notes, probably the leading living authority on Louis Armstrong, showing off the famed ice cream trumpet that Armstrong would play for the kids in the neighborhood. To have Governor Hochul stop by with her busy schedule to just pay respects to Louis Armstrong and to hear a little bit about what we're doing in the CUNY system, that was a special day. The Office of Compliance and Diversity, headed by the Dean of Diversity and Chief Diversity Officer, the only Dean of Diversity in the CUNY system, Jerima DeWeese, continues to do its excellent work. And I want to be clear about something, because I know some people, the term DEI rubs them the wrong way because they think, well, I'm not so sure I'm included. And I know that because I have friends who are of Asian background who say, well, Asian Americans sometimes, they're neither black nor white, and they're not part of this. And I hear from Jewish friends who say, well, you know, I don't know. You talk about discrimination, but does that include fighting anti-Semitism? And I want to be as crystal clear as possible. It doesn't matter who you are, you belong here. And the DEI office cares every bit as much about the concerns and about the cases that are brought, whether you are fighting against anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, during COVID, the anti-Asian hatred that was commonplace. And they will be bringing on a brand new person to head CERU, which reports up to the Dean of Diversity, and it will be helping to put on additional programming here. We have Diversity Week and bias training. We know, and I don't want to rest on our laurels, that despite having done as much as we have, there is always more to do to achieve the ideals of this diverse democracy of ours, which comes under attack and challenge, sometimes openly, sometimes more subtly. But we know that here we are committed to this cause. ITS, wait till you see the new Student Technology Lounge. It sort of had a soft opening. We will have a more formal opening. It is a spectacular space. I feel like I should move out of my office and over there just to hang out, because no matter what you've seen at any campus, I would put this up against anything at institutions, public or private. It's about to open. We will be at the forefront in implementing the workday system. We are overhauling security cameras all throughout the campus. I do want to mention something, and I know not everyone is enthusiastic sometimes about some of the things we have to do, but we are making an effort to address rogue servers. This is in all of our interests. I don't know about you, but if you've ever been the victim of identity theft, a few years ago, my wife, some miscreant got a hold of her credit card info. She had to cancel everything. And then for years, anytime we applied for anything, she had to explain why all this was messed up. That happens because people break into servers. You know, on the dark web, they figure out how to do this. And they get into a server that's unsecured, that's not behind a firewall. And we were recently, and I know there are some deans who are part of this, contacted by the United States Army because they were afraid of a possible breach of their data, which we were privy to. And they weren't kidding around. And when folks in the military who have guns contact me to say you need to be fixing a problem because we feel vulnerable, if they feel vulnerable, there's really an issue. So we will be addressing rogue servers throughout the campus. So that gives you some sense. We have a brand new Queens College at a glance. Please do take a look at it. It's just a fabulous brochure from the cover image of the welcome day last year. My wife sometimes, when she sees something like this, you'll see what I mean when you look at the inside of the cover. She says, Frank, you really need to not shave your head. So I'll leave you on that humorous note. I'm happy to take any questions about anything I've said or haven't said. And in my fifth year, I haven't graduated yet, and that's fine. Because as many of you have heard me say, this is my dream job. And I know, too, that the provost, as our chief academic officer, feels that way. We've made a pact. We're here to stay for the long run. So thank you again for allowing us to serve you here at Queens College. Questions? With the permission of the chair, I want to be mindful. Chair Ferguson,
do you have questions?
You may ask me anything you want, and yes, I am contractually obligated to be a Mets fan. All right, thank you so much once again.
Oh boy, that was Frank's notes, those were mine.
Hello, welcome. And thanks for your patience. It's nice to see everyone. And get a look at you. Yes. Okay. We'll begin, as always, with approving our agenda. Does anyone have
any amendments?
Does anyone have any amendments to the agenda? Anything they would like to add? I'm looking to see if Larissa's here. Okay. Seeing no amendments, we'll consider the agenda approved.
Any objections?
Are there any objections to the approval? Seeing none, we're good. Okay, second item is the approval of our Senate meeting minutes of September 12th. Are there any corrections, any objections to approving these? Okay, seeing none, we'll move those. Next is the section on announcements, and we were just able to hear Frank's, or President Wu's remarks. I have to do this, which I had to do last time, and I'm guessing I might have to do next time. There's a motion relating to this later, but under B, you'll see four courses listed here that we have previously approved, and we need to make a correction regarding. The Academic Senate's Executive Committee, which meets in between Senate meetings, establishes the agenda, etc., is empowered to act on behalf of this body. And when we do so, I come to the next meeting and make an announcement and see if anyone has a problem or an issue. So these four courses here, and I'll read them for the sake of the record, ECP SE 715, we need to change that to 707. Everything else about the course is the same, just the number. SEYS 728 changes to SEYS 759. CSCI 382 is now 380. And Geology 302 is now 202 is now 203. We'll talk about this more at the end of the meeting, but I will say the Executive Committee has voted to approve these strictly numerical changes so the courses can be entered into the course dog scheduling software. And I'm going to announce that and now ask, are there any objections to this? Any questions, discussions about this? Okay, excellent. Seeing none, that was just an announcement, so we don't have to vote on it. There are no special motions, and this brings us to committee reports. Thank you, Ken. Are there any objections to the Undergraduate Curriculum Committee minutes? Okay, seeing none, they're approved. Thank you so much. Next, the Graduate Curriculum Committee.
I'm David Bondi, Biology. I am GCC Chair. I move unanimous consent to approve the minutes of the May 8th (2024) meeting.
Thank you, David. Are there any objections to the GCC minutes? Okay, seeing none, we'll approve them. Thank you. And thirdly is the Nominating Committee report.
Which is at the end, right?
Sorry, I just lost that week.
Sorry, Sarah, go ahead. You can introduce yourself. I'm just trying to pull it up. And would you like to ask for unanimous consent?
And I'd like to ask for unanimous consent.
Thank you very much. Just a point of information, because these nominating committee reports get distributed and handled a little bit later in the process. It doesn't come out initially. You may have seen an initial PDF that has a name that's not on this most recent updated name. This is relevant to something the president mentioned earlier, which is the search for the dean of the School of Business. Let me say this carefully. It is the Senate's right and responsibility to constitute search committees for the positions of deans and for the provost. After that, our responsibility ends, and it's to the administration to make sure it goes through proper compliance with HR and the search and execute that. And so when President Wu says, I need to have names that are willing and able to serve, one thing he takes that to mean is that faculty members cannot be on sabbatical or on leave. So there was a faculty member that we were hoping to vote on for the search for the dean of the School of Business, but upon finding out that person would be on leave in the spring, the president indicated he would be unable to consider that name. So they're not on there. We also need, I would say, to continue our responsibility to fill that committee out. So we'll be reaching out to chairs.
Can we take nominations now for that, for later?
Not on the agenda.
Not on the agenda. Okay.
An announcement for people to reply. Announcement for people to reply.
Yes. So having made that point of information, there's a duly made motion to accept the nominating committee report with unanimous consent. Are there any objections to the names on the nominating committee report? Seeing none, we'll accept it. Thanks, Sari. And so again, yes, I will make a plea to the Senate. If you are a faculty member who will not be on leave in the spring or not currently on leave and are in a department or program that is under what the new School of Business would be, accounting, economics, things like that, please apply so that we can fill this position and start this dean search, because it's important, obviously. There's a link to that on our college website, and we can also send information about that. Please.
I just wanted to ask, a question about that. Do you know from which department the faculty member is not being considered?
That is a great question. I believe economics. And I'm also a member of the nominating committee, and so I will say that we did try to represent a balance of faculty from the different departments. It's not all from one particular department. I'm in the humanities, so I don't, the differences often go well over my head, but it would be my guess that someone from economics would be considered well. Any other comments, questions? Okay.
Nominated.
Old business, sorry.
Yeah,
okay. Oh, old business. Next is nominations and nominating committee. We have two student seats, arts and humanities and education. Is there anyone from arts and humanities or education that would like to nominate themselves or appear for the nominating committee? I'm staring at you in the second row. Okay, seeing none, we will ask you next month. Moving on, new business. Old business stays around until the end of the year, actually. We have a University Faculty Senate petition. We have, I believe, one additional alternate seat left. I'm going to try to scroll down without revealing the person's home address. Did you? Thank you, Kat. Okay. So the University Faculty Senate gets a delegation. We usually fill this out in the spring, but if we don't manage to do so and we have additional seats, faculty can nominate through the process of a petition. You just need 10 names, come to the Senate, and we ask. So Vijay from Accounting and Information Systems would like to serve on the University Faculty Senate, has a duly completed petition, and I would move that we accept this petition and seat him on the UFS. Are there any objections to that? Okay, excellent. Seeing none, we'll move that along. Thank you. Thanks to Vijay. Last, cruising here. Is a motion regarding course numbering. I'll take a sip of water before this one. Again, wanting to be thoughtful in how I speak and not rush things. I alluded to this earlier when we were doing the announcements and the fact that we had to do this last month, and I expect in the future. So I hope I won't read this right now. I hope you've seen it. I first wanted to say, regarding this motion about course numbers, I can say, first off, I drafted it, and this comes from me. I also want to express my gratitude towards our new registrar, Jomi, towards Maria in the Provost's office, towards Provost Price, towards Joyce Kong, all of the folks that we kind of turn to and we're like, why is course log not working? Why do we have to do this kind of stuff? They've all been extremely helpful. This motion is not with the Queen's College administration or the registrar or anything like that. The understanding that they have, that they've transmitted to me, is that this is something in the orbit of CUNY Central or in the realm of this particular software that we're being required to use. So having said that, I'm going to not move this motion today. I've had productive conversations with the Provost Office and with the President, and I'm going to consider this something that we take up for old business. Is tabling the right way to move it? So I move that we table this motion regarding course numbering, which means it will appear under old business at our meeting next month. I'll ask for unanimous consent to table. We
can do that. It's not debatable.
We can't debate anyway. So I guess we need to do a vote then. Yay, we get to use our cards. So I'll ask you, the motion is to table this, to not consider a vote.
You can ask unanimous.
Oh, you can? Yes. Even if it's not debatable?
It's not debatable. You can ask unanimous consent.
Okay, I misunderstood here. So it's not. Some motions aren't debatable. That means we go right to the vote. But if I ask for unanimous consent, that means no one gets to object or complain unless you wave your hand and then we vote. We don't get to talk about it anymore, including myself. Asking for unanimous consent, are there any objections to tabling this motion and considering it for next month? With the effect that we would consider it for next month? I'm not seeing any.
Okay.
So moved.
Table.
So table, yes. Thank you very much. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Be well, be safe. I'll see you next time.